Lord Jesus, you are the good cornerstone. Lord, you are our foundation. You're the one that our feet are on this morning. You're the one our faith is in this morning. Because, Lord, everything in this world that can be shaken is about to be shaken. But, Lord, we can stand on you. We can stand on your word this morning. We have someone to hope in. There's a place designated for us. And Father, you sent your Spirit to guide us and to direct us. So Father, come this morning, prepare our hearts to hear your word and to respond to your word, Lord. And Lord, help us to see who we are. Help us to see what our identity is in you this morning, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, good morning, Mount Zion. I have a pile of announcements. I want to welcome visitors. If this is your first time here, there's a card in front of you in the back of the seats that says a connection card. When you're done, when we're finished with the service, you go out to the back here to the Welcome Center. They have a gift for you. We want to welcome you. We want to get to know you. If you have questions about us, ask them back there. If they don't know, they'll find someone that can answer the question. So we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're worshiping with us. I want to thank you for your tithes and offerings. It says in God's word that if you're faithful and you bring your tithes and offerings, then God says he will open the windows of heaven. He will meet your needs. And so we thank God for your faithfulness, because it allows us to move on and win souls and disciple and make authentic believers and followers with what we have. So we just thank you for your faithfulness. This Wednesday, the elective classes begin. There's a list of them up here. Who's teaching them? When you come here Wednesday, we will have people to direct you to where each class is if you're interested, okay? So just be aware of that. It starts this Wednesday. Now, next week, right after the second service, we're going to have a baptism up at the beach in Lake Geneva, and we're going to baptize you in some nice warm water out there. No guarantee on the temperature of the air, but the water's good, okay? It'll be fine. If you've never been baptized, right after this service, down in our conference room, Pastor Steve is going to have an orientation class for baptism. If you're saying, should I or shouldn't I get baptized, go down there, talk to him. Between Pastor Steve and the Holy Spirit, you'll decide if you're going to get baptized, okay? I remember when this happened to me. I was sitting right up here in this row, and I said, God, why should I get baptized? And after the service, I came up to this altar, and this is what he said to me. He said, Jesus said, I was baptized. And I thought, if there's one guy who didn't need to be baptized, it was Jesus. So who was I to think I didn't need to be baptized as an adult? And man, I hit the water that evening. So just think it through. Ask yourself if you should be there. Go down and go to the class and you'll be ready for next week. Okay? Sunday school classes start next week. Financial Peace University, 9 a.m. in room 203. There says $50 for Mount Zion attenders. Okay? Foundations for Believers class starts at 10:30 a.m. in the same room, 203 down on this end, upstairs. If you have questions, Rich, where are you at? You moved on me today. But right here, Rich is. Ask him about the class, okay? All right, women's Bible studies are beginning. You can sign up in the foyer after the service, okay? If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to have you turn to somebody and say, who are you? Very good. Good question. If we don't answer that today, I have totally failed, okay? It's in the text. Are you ready? This is the words of Peter. He says, therefore. So since you've girded up the loins of your mind, and you started to think biblically, you quit thinking worldly, you quit drinking the world's brew, and you're thinking like God thinks, and you understand that you have an inheritance in heaven, and that you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and you have hope in this life, and it's in Christ, and your hope is eternal. And then he says, now therefore, since you get it, since you understand it, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Father, come with the power of your Holy Spirit today. Teach us. Settle this word in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Let us know who we are when we walk out the back door and then live like it in Jesus' name. Amen. First point in your outline, take off the old man and put on the new man. Now, don't raise your hand when I ask this question. How many of you are wearing the same clothes that you wore 4 or 5 days ago without washing? You see, listen to what he says. He says, take off the old man, put on the new man. It's very important. Ephesians chapter 4. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 25. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now listen, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speaking truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Quit drinking the brew of the world and start speaking truthfully. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you look at the list, he says, rid yourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Most of that stuff comes out of your mouth. Most of it comes out of our mouth. If it's in your heart, sooner or later, you're going to get bumped and it's going to come out. And so Peter says, put it off. Take off the old man, he says, and put on the new man. Now you could say, but how do I do that? One lady at the fair said to me, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I keep sinning. I said, you've come to the right place. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you and he will help you. And then I had to explain to her who the Holy Spirit was. Said she'd never heard about him in her church. Now, folks, that's sad. Listen to what it says, and here's your next point. Crave God's word like newborn babe, like a newborn babe craves milk. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. If a baby gets hungry, what do? They cry. They cry. You know what I hear in the church?
Everybody cries. They say, I don't have time to read it, Pastor. I'm too busy. I don't understand it. It's been translated so many times. You know that, don't you? It's been translated so many times. To which I say, yes, and it's still absolutely perfect. I just don't have time to read it. You're supposed to crave it. You're supposed to scream if you don't get into the Word of God, because you haven't been fed spiritually. Your spiritual stomach should be growling for more Word. And he says you have to get into it, church. It's time to quit crying and drink. You're awful quiet. Go after God's Word, all right? Listen to what it says in The Coming Apostasy, all right? It's a book I'm reading right now. We must guard ourselves from drifting away from the sola scriptura, Scripture alone, championed by the Protestant reformers. Today's Christian motto is more like sometimes Scripture, accompanied by wherever my emotions, pursuit of happiness, and self-fulfillment lead me. Without an intentional return to the primacy of God's Word on a large scale, the church will succumb to apostasy and be plunged into lethargy, apathy, impurity, and spiritual slumber. We are quickly becoming a church culture of activity, presentation, self-help, and sermonettes. Our love affair with self must end, and a rekindled love for Jesus be put in its place. This is the revival you can pray for. Because we live in an age of instant media gratification and shallow interaction, we must retrain our minds to engage Scripture and understand its amazing daily relevance and fresh application to our lives. Now, folks, here's what happens. I'm not going to go there. You can look it up. It's like Revelation chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where the angel says to John, here, eat this scroll, take this word, eat it. And he says, it tasted like honey in my mouth, but what did it do? It turned his stomach sour. You know why? Because your stomach isn't used to the Word of God. Drink it down and then get accustomed to God's Word and get right with the right diet. People are telling me all the time I'm eating bad things when they see me with a sweet roll. I can't complain anymore about aching because they say, well, it's because of what you eat. And you see, it tastes sweet. The Word of God is great. When you read it, you go, yes, that's right. And then you go, oh, how... You mean, do I really have to apply this to my life? Yes, you do. But when you do, it makes a difference. Here's what was just unbelievable proof that the Word of God is correct to me. I've had lots of it, but this one I will never forget. A man came and said, your neighbor has bugs in his hayfield. You've all heard this story, almost all of you. And then the guy standing next to me, Norbert Selking, says to the guy, no, 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 Dave tithes, and it says in God's Word, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so he's given his tithes and offering, and there's no bugs in his field. And the guy said, the guy looked at him like, you got to be kidding me. He said, there's bugs right across the field. He says, 3 feet between the fence row, there's bugs in your field. I said, take your net there, go show me the bugs, I'll let you spray it. Guy was gone for an hour and a half. He came back dragging his net, shaking his head. He said, mister, I don't get it. There's no bugs in your field. Norbert was standing right there. He said, I told you. He said, I told you there'd be no bugs in his field because he tithes. And God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Church, you never seen me go faster with a haybine and cut that field down, man. Harvest that baby. Is it true or isn't it, church? Will you agree with Scripture? Will you move to Scripture? He says, crave it. Crave the sincere milk of the Word. That's what the old King James says. Crave it. Get after it. If things aren't going well in your life, ask yourself, am I following the Word of God? If you're not, it's simple. Repent. Get with the program. Get with God's program. You'll never be put to shame. It's coming up in the text, all right? Look at your next point. The pure milk of God's Word will make Jesus precious to you. The word precious is used in here. It says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a what? A precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in Him will what? Never be put to shame. My friend, at the risk of being embarrassed, said, there's no bugs in the field, to which I was going, Norb, what are you doing? No bugs in the field. You won't be put to shame. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the stone that causes people to stumble. See, if you're in the Word of God, if you're desiring, if you're in the sincere milk of the Word and you're reading and you're learning, because it says it will help you, you will grow in your salvation. Do you see what it says here? It says you will grow up. Grow up in your salvation. You won't be a baby anymore. You won't be tossed to and fro by the world's junk. You'll grow up. And the pure milk of the Word will make Jesus precious to you. You will give up everything in your life except for Jesus. He becomes precious. The church needs to come back to Jesus. God's Word highlights Jesus at all times. If you've given, you know, the opening to Christ, He will come into your heart. And if He comes into your heart, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And then the Holy Spirit, this is in an old book called The Helper. And this is what I learned about the Holy Spirit. He has a spotlight, like the guy in Hollywood, and He will hold the spotlight on the star of the show at all times. You know who the star of the show is? It's Jesus. And He will highlight Jesus at all times, and Jesus will become precious to you. I think Jesus would echo the words that were written in the book of Revelation. Return to your first love. Make Jesus precious. Now look at your next point. Fall on Jesus before He falls on you. You see what this says? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to what? Stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Get this right. They were destined to obey the message, but they fell. They stumbled over Jesus. The Jews stumbled over Jesus. The people uptown are stumbling over Jesus. The church is stumbling over Jesus. It's time to make Him precious again. Luke chapter 20. I love what it says in Luke chapter 20 in the New King James Version. All right, this is what I have for you. But it says, Jesus looked at them and said, what then is this that is written, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And then it says, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. Tell somebody, it's okay to be broken by God. You know why? He'll fix you. He'll put you back together right. Look at the rest of it. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. See, folks, this life you're living is a test. For the next however many years you live, you have a chance. You have a chance to open your heart to Jesus, to take Him as your Lord and Savior. But if you don't, and the cornerstone falls on you, it will grind you to powder. And being ground to powder is really easy compared to spending eternity without Jesus. Listen to what Romans 11:22 says. Consider the goodness and the severity of God. In your NIV, it says, consider the goodness and the sternness of God. You know what we don't hear much about in church anymore is judgment. See, righteousness, God being a just God. You see, there is goodness with God. We hear so much about His love, but we don't hear a whole lot because it's not popular. Hellfire and brimstone is not the way to go today. Do you know that? But folks, it's still in the Scripture. God will still judge His people, and He starts with the church. As a matter of fact, He starts with guys like me. And I'll be held responsible. It says not many should do what I'm doing today, because you will be held responsible. Consider the goodness and the severity of God. Now, you know who you're supposed to be? You're supposed to be part of that rock. You see? It says Jesus is a living stone. You check your text. It says He's a living stone, and it says we're supposed to be living stones being built into a spiritual house. I want to give you some homework. I dare you to go home and read Daniel chapter 2. You know what you're going to see in Daniel chapter 2? You're going to see all the kingdoms of the world that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. All the kingdoms of the world. And then at the end of his dream, there was a stone that came out of the mountain, and it was not made with human hands, it says. Isn't that great? And it says that stone came rolling through there. It's one of the, I think it's where bowling came from. And that stone came through there, and it took out all the other kingdoms. And you know what it says? And Daniel interprets the dream, and it says it set up an everlasting kingdom that will never end. Folks, he's the chief cornerstone. And he said, here I am. Now I'm going to sit right here in Zion, and you guys can be built on top of this stone. He says, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'll cap it off. When it's over, I'm coming back again. Right, folks? Come on, church. He says, if you fall on me, we'll break you down. We'll put you back just the way you're supposed to be. You'll be born again. You'll be brand new. But he says, if you don't come, you're going to spend eternity away, and you're going to miss being one of those living stones, and you're not going to be part of the body of Christ like you're supposed to be. Consider the goodness and the severity of God. If you're following in your outline, recognize and embrace your new identity. Recognize and embrace it. Do you see what your identity is here? You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're chosen by God. Now listen to these words. You are forgiven with a purpose. If you're drinking the world's brew, and you're not thinking biblically, you can get to the place where you think you've been forgiven so that you can go to heaven. You know who that's all about? It's all about you, 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 you. That's not the reason. That's not the only reason Jesus died on the cross. Yes, he died on the cross so you can be in heaven and you don't have to suffer the ravages of sin. But you've been forgiven with a purpose. It's so you can be a living stone. We weren't saved to sit on our hands and be an audience. Please hear me, church. We were forgiven and we were given a purpose. It was to spread the gospel. It was to live that life of Christ so that people could see it every day. It was to be a light shining in the darkness. When you walk in a room, you know what your identity should be? You should light the place up, even if you don't say a word. People should go, there's something different about that guy. Because they would sense the Spirit of God. If you think things aren't going on up in the heavenlies, you are wrong, church. They're going on. There's a battle over your head at all times. Right. I walked around this property today. Really, I went down to see how the bridge is going. Come on, Lord, please. We're laying hands on that thing. Let's go. But as I was walking back, I couldn't help but think where Joshua says, every place your foot steps, you will possess the land. See? My boots were all wet, man, from walking down through the wet grass and going down by the creek. And I thought, but Lord, wherever I'm walking, this is ours right here. Come on, Lord. Embrace it. Recognize and embrace your identity. You've been forgiven with a purpose. God has a purpose for you. He wants you to be a light that shines in the darkness. Now, look at your next point. Praise God for making you His chosen, royal, holy, special possession. Turn to somebody and say, you are somebody. My goodness, church. I don't know, it's in my head, so I just got to tell you. I was listening to an old Pentecostal preacher one time, and he said he was preaching up in the front, and before he went up to preach, you know, he said they came and the ushers told him that there's some devil worshipers, and they're going to put a curse on you. And he said, you go back and ask them how they're going to curse a guy that's been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Go ahead, ask them. See, you're special, church. You're a living stone built in on that cornerstone. I want to give a shout out to the men here. You ready? Be the priest of your household. You know, Pastor, I'd like to come to church, but my wife and my kids, they don't want to call, get up, and they don't want to come. And I go to church, man! Get up, get in the car, go worship, read the Word. Catch on fire for Jesus. Come back happy and lit up, man. Do the dishes. You know what'll happen? She'll go, what is happening there? Boy, I can see the emails coming this week. You told us. And you know what will happen? You'll be a living stone, and then others will come and be part of the body, and pretty soon they'll be involved, and God will be changing everybody. You see that? And there will be a laying aside of the malice and the envy and all the junk that's going on, because you're going to be forgiven with a purpose, and you're going to begin to embrace your identity. You're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to go, hey, I'm somebody. I went to church and I found out that I was a chosen, royal, holy, special possession of my Lord and Savior Jesus, who is precious to me. Hallelujah. I'm a kid of the King. You know my dad? The elders fall on their face and worship Him. It's awesome. Church, we got to embrace it. Number one, we have to know it. Then we can be it. Last point, you ready? Be a living stone built on the chief cornerstone in the church. See, you can't read this text and miss this, folks. You just can't read it. You are also, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be whole, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. When the worship team was leading us in worship, you were offering spiritual sacrifices to God. You're being a living stone. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the light of the world. Jesus is the head. We need to start taking commands from the head and doing exactly what he says, church. So here's my question for all of you right now today. First and foremost, have you been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb? Listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. You and God know. See, you can fool me, you can fool the people around you, but have you been bought by the blood of a pure and spotless Lamb? If you're in here today and you've never opened your heart, you see, you don't have to chase Jesus. He left the 99 and he's hounding you right now. And you know. And if you're in here today and if you've never opened up your heart to Christ, all you have to do is open it up. Man, he says, I'm knocking on the door. If you open it up, I'll come and eat with you. People are like, no, keep that thing locked. You know what? I have to say, open that thing up and experience the grace and mercy of God just flooding into your life. Amen. If you've never done it, do it before you walk out the back door today, okay? You can talk to somebody right next to you. See, this is being the church because you're sitting next to a living stone. Isn't it great he didn't say you guys are a bunch of dead stones? He didn't say that. You're a living stone. Light it up. For the rest of you, some of us need to put off some old stuff and put on the new, don't we? His mercies are new every morning. Start right here and ask God to give you his mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Understand your identity. Understand your identity. I just love this. You are a chosen, royal, holy, special possession, bought and paid for by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's precious. You've been forgiven with a purpose. You've been forgiven with a purpose. I want to leave you with this, and I want you to sit right where you're at, and I want you to think about it. I'm done, like, way early. But you know why? It's so you can process this and you can do this. I want you to be the church, and I want you to get involved. Matt and I, we shot this, you know, this welcome film. And it took me 2 days to do it. You know why? Because I couldn't remember all the things in our head that this ministry does. I had to write notes, man. I had to have cue cards so I could just, in 2 minutes, try to tell people that want to come to this church, this is what we do. This is what you can get involved with. And I realized you can't walk out of here going, well, there's nothing for me to do at that church. You want to bet? So I want to tell you what Jesus said. You are. You see, you are chosen, royal, holy, you are special possession. You have been saved forever. with a purpose. I'm going to go to Hebrews. I'm going to end with this text because I just love this. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Folks, turn to somebody and say, I am somebody. Now, Father, come with your Holy Spirit and go throughout this body. And Lord, I pray that you're going to put on our minds and our hearts now, where do we get involved? What do we do? Lord, can we be in Acts chapter 2 church, where all the bases are covered every morning? And we're saying, hey, we got enough help. Just take a break and then get back here next week. We need you. Come on, isn't that a vision church? Where the leaders are like, Pastor, we have so much help. Get us more people. Yeah. Get us more people to minister to. Father, take your word this morning. Lord, settle in our hearts our identity. Because, Lord, we are your body. We're precious living stones, and help us to look just like you, Jesus. Help the Spirit of God in us to be irresistible to those around us. But, Holy Spirit, come now, and, Lord, give us direction. Tell us where to serve. Tell us where to be. Tell us how to do what you've called us to do. And then, Lord, let us see the result in the surrounding communities, in where we work, and where we live, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm not supposed to be done for 7 minutes. Talk to the Lord. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If you need prayer, we're here. Pastors, elders, small group leaders, who's ever here, be ready. And just ask for prayer if you need it. God bless you.